Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the witness of your Holy Spirit today. God, that we are your people. We are your representatives here. We are your vessels, God, and we appreciate the opportunity to serve you. And we thank you that you have called us, Lord. We didn't call on you. You called on us, Lord. God, we don't ordain ourselves. You ordain us that we should go and bear fruit and that fruit should remain. And Father, today, I'm asking, Lord, on behalf of all of us here, God, that we would, Lord, be brought into your purpose, that we would understand who we are in you and who you are in us and what our purpose is, God, that we might be Jesus to this world and bring the world to Jesus, Father. We just pray that you would teach us your ways, lead us in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, we pray your kingdom come and will be done in each and every life here today. Father, I pray that by your Spirit and our cooperation with your Spirit today, that the gift of God that's within us would be stirred up, God, that we'll be activated, that we'll be, Lord, revived in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we don't want just short meetings, Lord, that come and go. We want a habitation, a visitation, God, that is ongoing, that your fire continues to burn within our spirits, Lord, that our hearts are revived, our minds are renewed, and our souls restored, God, and we're walking in our purpose, God. So, God, we're asking, God, that you would light that flame within us again, reignite it, God, fan it into flame, and bring us to full flame for Jesus. For your name's sake, we ask, Lord. Amen. How many remember when you were young and it was time to go to school? I was not one of those young men that was just eager to get up in the morning and go to school. And neither was my brother. So my mom would stand at the bottom of the stairs. We had upstairs rooms. And she would stand at the bottom of the stairs and say, "Boys, it's time to get up. It's time to get up." "Yeah, Mom, we're getting up. We'll be up in just a minute." "Yeah." 5 minutes later, "I don't hear any stirring up there. Time to get up." "You better get up or you're going to miss the bus." So, you know, my mom had a way of starting out soft and sweet and then getting pretty loud. Until, all right, we're getting up, we're getting up. The reason why we needed to get up is because we needed to be responsible, amen? We needed to commit ourselves to getting on the bus. Because if we miss the bus, then we can't get to school. If we don't get to school, then we don't get an education. If we don't get an education, on it goes, right? You're going to struggle more in life. So my mom, because she cared, she wanted us to get up, amen, and get ready. Now, I had it down to a T. We come down to the sink. And I grab one of those instant oatmeal things in the packages. And I turn the hot water on from the sink. So it wasn't boiling. It was just warm. Tear that thing open, throw it in there, put some water in it, go chump, chump, and then wop, 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 wop. And I had breakfast down to probably 30 seconds. And some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And I just get out there every time and just barely catch that bus. A couple times we had to chase it down. Hey! Some of you know where I'm going. But guys, God wants his people to wake up. To get up. Not just to wake up, but to get up. Because sometimes we can wake up and just lay in bed. We can be aware of what we should do, and yet we're not willing to get up and do what we should do. And so God wants us to wake up and get up and be engaged in what he's calling us to. Ephesians 5:15 says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." I've asked this question many times in my own life, and I've asked you this many times as well, is how many of you here, and you don't have to show hands this morning, but how many of you here know what God has called you to do? How many would agree with me that it's vitally important that we understand what God has called us to do? Amen. First of all, we need to be. Amen. We need to be in Christ. We need to be awakened by the Spirit of the Lord. But then we have to understand our purpose, and we have to awake and rise up. Amen. And get up out of that place of apathy, complacency, whatever it is, and get busy for God. God's looking for laborers. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into His harvest. So God's looking for men and women, boys and girls, who are willing to partner with Him in His purposes. And if we're going to pray for somebody else to go, how many know that we should be going too? God send Brother Joe, Sister Sue. How about you? You'd be a good candidate. Well, I'm not qualified. Well, God will qualify you if you say yes. He wouldn't call you unless He was willing to give you what you needed for the journey. Amen? And this is the way it is. Even when Scott was talking about this situation where he didn't know about how he was going to get the funds. You know, God is just waiting for you to be obedient. As soon as you said, yes, Lord, I'm committing myself, then He directed your steps. And He made that come to pass. I've seen it happen before. Where God is telling me, I want you to do this, but God, I don't have the resources to do what you're asking me to do. I want you to step out and do what I tell you to do. And as soon as I had stepped out to obey the Lord and what He told me to do, the provision followed. Isn't that amazing? But it wasn't the other way around. It didn't first come to me and then God says, now you can do it. No, God says, obey my voice and I will make provision for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. God's going to take care of it. So Jesus said, you know, we are His lights in the world. Our life should be a sermon. Amen. It's more than just telling people, like you said, making people feel bad. Amen. But demonstrating to people who God is by the way we live our lives as Jesus would in this world. Partnering with the Lord. So this is the message in 1 John 1:5. We have heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. Verse 7, hear it guys, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. If we, read it again, if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. In the blood of Jesus, His Son cleanses us from all sin. So according to the scriptures, Christian fellowship is an indication that we are walking in the light. When people pull out and pull away from the body of Christ, I'm not saying every time, but often there's a problem. There's a reason why they don't want to be too close to God's people. If you're in the light, you have no secrets. Are you hearing me? If you're in the light, you can walk with confidence. Amen? Assurance. And I can hang out with God's people because I don't have anything to hide. I don't have any secrets. Amen. If there's some hidden sin in my life, then I need to just deal with it quickly. Get rid of it. Amen. Get back into peace with God. Amen. And then back into fellowship with His people. See, the enemy wants to beat us up over our failures. And when you make a mistake, or maybe you're struggling with some besetting sin, what he wants you to do, instead of coming to the body of Christ, he wants you to separate yourself from the body of Christ. Why is that? Because a wolf knows that he needs to separate the weak one from the flock. Amen? So he can target it and take it out. So God says, I want you to hang together in the flock. Amen? And he's the chief shepherd that oversees the flock. And so we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. So if we're walking in the light, then we will have fellowship. And guys, listen, don't let that devil lie to you and keep you away from fellowship. Because I know that if things are not right between me and God, then I don't want to even be around God's people. Why? Because I'm afraid somebody's going to see something. John 3, Jesus said, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And But men love the darkness rather than the light, and they don't what? They don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. But we who are of the light always come into the light. If I got an issue, I got a problem, I don't have to, amen, go through 12 months of counseling. I just need to get on my face before God and say, Lord, I messed up, I blew it, I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you for your mercy, thank you, I receive your forgiveness, and get back up, amen, and keep on pressing on and be an encouragement to others. Hallelujah. Don't let that devil beat you down and lie to you and tell you, oh, you're not worthy to be in church. You're not worthy to be around God's people. How many know that none of us are worthy apart from Christ? He's the one that qualifies us to be together. Amen? In Him. It's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We cry out to God for mercy, and He's merciful. He's gracious. He's forgiving. But it's very important that we understand that, like Paul, like Scott was saying earlier about the battlefield of the mind. The enemy wants to mess with your head. He wants to lie to you. Tell, oh, you can't go there. People look at you funny. People will know. Why would you want to live in that torment when you can simply say, well, you know what? I'm going to get this monkey off my back. I'm going to take it to Jesus. I'm going to leave it right there at the altar. Amen. I'm going to forsake that thing. I'm going to walk away from it and not pick it up again. And I'm going to walk in freedom. Praise God. He's already paid the price for that sin. All I got to do is confess it and renounce it and walk in freedom. Amen. But the enemy wants you to just drag that thing around with you. Drag that condemnation, that guilt, and that shame around with you. Amen. And he wants to isolate you and keep you from the fellowship of God's people so that he can take you out. Are you hearing me, somebody? There's no such thing as lone rangers in the kingdom. We're all part of something bigger than ourselves. God places us within the body. So it's time to get up. Whenever someone responds and they turn to the Lord shines on them and they awaken to this new life. Romans 13:11 says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So do what? Remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of light of right living. Ephesians 5:14 says, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, I've used this illustration before, but how many remember the movie Awakenings? It was Robin Williams. And it was based on a documentary during the 1917 to 28 time period. And it took place in a mental hospital. And then what happened was a group of people had succumbed to this sleeping disease. And it was called encephalitis lethargica. And so what happened is they went to sleep for days and for months and even years. People just went to sleep. And decades later, back in 1968, a certain physician came up with an experimental drug and they tried it on the people. His name was Malcolm Sayer. And when the people finally woke up, it actually worked. They realized they'd missed out on many years of their life because they were asleep. And the sad part was after a time of being awake, they all eventually fell back asleep again. Do you understand? The devil wants you to fall asleep. He wants to put you to sleep. He wants to snuff out your light. He doesn't want your light on the candlestick. I mean, he wants you to hide it under the bushel. You can be a good Christian as long as you're a silent Christian. He wants us to fall asleep and stay asleep because what he's doing is he's robbing you of your days, of your years, of your opportunities to bear fruit unto eternal life. God has given us a short period of time, an opportunity right now to commit ourselves to serve Him and to live for eternity. Amen. To have our treasure in heaven. And if the enemy can keep you asleep long enough, he can rob you of all the opportunities that God has provided for us here to bear fruit unto eternal life and to have an inheritance with the saints in light. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? The devil's a liar and he wants to snuff people out. He wants to get God's people into fear. He wants to shut you down and put a gag on you and silence you. And that's why we need to awaken out of sleep. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. And we need to not only wake up. Amen. On a Sunday morning, praise God, we have these celebration times. And we can wake up. Amen. Momentarily. But be careful, because if you're not careful, just like those people, they went back to sleep again. Are you hearing me, somebody? And they realized, when they had woken up, so many years had gone by that were wasted. How many know that if you're here today, God has a purpose for you? God has a plan for your life. Don't let the devil snuff out your lamp. You need to fan it into flame. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to keep the oil supplied. Amen. God provides the oil, but we need to keep the lamp burning. We need to awake from sleep, and then Christ will shine upon us. We need to come out of the world, the things of this world. Sometimes without even realizing it, guys, we can lose our spiritual zeal. We can lose our passion, our joy, our love, even our gratitude. We can lose our sense of wonder about experiencing God and what's God got for me, and what else is there to discover and to know about this amazing, wonderful God that we serve. And he invites us to come with confidence through the blood, amen, into that place where he will reveal his heart to us and share even his secrets with those who love him, his friends, the ones who say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. I want to be a friend of God, amen. And have the windows of heaven open in your life, the favor of God in your life, because he sees that he has someone who's willing to say yes to all of God's will. The Apostle Paul told his son in the Lord, Pastor Timothy, to stir up the gift of God in 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, the original Greek word means the kindling of a fire, as by bellows. So he's saying you need, how many have had fireplaces or wood stoves, amen? You know what a bellow is, right? It's one of those deals that you can pump air, amen, onto the flame, right? Sometimes we just blow upon it, right? Well, he's saying what needs to happen is you may have an ember. You may have a little coal going on, amen? But how many know that that coal can go out? And how many know that if you do something with that coal, if you treat it carefully, amen, and you apply some air to that coal, the bellows to that coal, amen, you can get a flame going. And if you continue to feed that flame will grow stronger and brighter and bigger and become even more effective. Are you hearing me, somebody? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to wake up, to get up, and to stir up, amen, that gift of God that's within you. Hallelujah. You need to get the bellows of God's Spirit breathing upon you again in your life. Amen. God wants us to be revived, and he wants us to be serving him for his purposes. Somebody say, God wants me to serve him. 2 Timothy 1:7, he goes on to say here, after he said, stir up the gift of God, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, what? Sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So Paul makes a connection here between being spiritually awake and our ability to testify shamelessly about the Lord, even in the face of persecution. There is a connection to being spiritually awake and being able to shamelessly testify of the Lord, about the Lord. Amen? So if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling unable, if you feel like you can't, It means that you lack spiritual strength. You lack the power of God in you. Because the power of God will enable you to do that which is impossible to do naturally. And some of us do not have the gift of gab. Some of us are not very outgoing. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do whatever God tells us to do because He's the one that empowers us to do it. So we need to understand that God wants us to wake up, but it's our responsibility to wake ourselves up. The Bible says that when the enemies of Israel came, the Philistines came upon Israel, that Samson would shake himself. He would shake himself. He would snap himself out of whatever lethargy or sleep he was in. Amen. And he would awaken that spiritual giant that was in him because he was anointed of the Holy Spirit. And the ability that Samson had was not just because he went to the gym a lot. He had supernatural power. Amen. He could kick some butt because of the power of God on him. Amen. So you and I likewise are called to do something that is beyond us, bigger than us, beyond our ability naturally. If we try to serve the Lord just in our own natural ability, we will have zero fruit. We can do Christian things, amen? But if it ain't of God, it's zero results. So we need God, amen, desperately. We need to be poor in spirit. We need to realize that God, what I'm called to do, is bigger than I am. Amen. And so therefore, I'm coming to you for strength. I'm coming to you for power. I'm coming to you for wisdom because I don't have what it takes to do what you've called me to do. But I do know that if I will put my confidence in you and trust you and step out for you, that you will meet me in the place of obedience. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Not by my own ability, not by my own wisdom, not by my own cleverness. Some people can build churches through their own cleverness. How many know you need more than human cleverness? You need God to build a house. Amen. If God builds a house, it will stand. That's why some of these churches, they come up overnight. They grow big overnight and overnight they collapse. Why? Because if man is doing it, it's not going to stand. The same thing is true about our personal lives. If we're building our lives on our own wisdom and our own abilities and just what we can do, even if my service to God is based upon what I can do naturally, it's not really going to last. Why? Because that which God does will remain. What God says is effective. Do you understand? We can put together nice little sermons. They can be structured just right. They can be theologically correct. But if God's not in it, it's just a dead letter. If God's not behind it, if God's not saying, this is what I'm saying. Well, I said it then and for that reason, but this is what I'm saying now and for this reason. If we will align ourselves with Him, do what He's doing, say what He's saying, pray what He's praying, then we'll have results because we can't do it without Him. But we need to stir up the gift of God within us. We need to wake ourselves just like Samson. Sometimes, guys, we just need to say, you know what? It's time to get up. It's time to wake up. You've been down in the dumps long enough. You've been milking and nurturing that depression long enough. You've been making excuses. Well, I'm just depressed. Why are you depressed? Do you not know that God is bigger than that depression? Do you believe that God is bigger than depression? Is God bigger than the devil? As I heard Robin say one day, he asked the question, is God weak? No, He's not weak. What's the problem? I'm the problem. My unbelief is what's hindering things here. I need to change my mind. I need to repent of that stinking thinking that says, I can't when God says you can. Well, I'm not qualified. Well, God will qualify you. Step out for Him. He'll meet you on the water. If He's on the water, get out of the boat. That's where the fruit's at. It's not hanging on to the trunk. Get out on the limb. That's where the fruit grows. Get out on the limb. If Jesus is out on the limb, get out there with him. You know, a severed spine causes paralysis to the human body, doesn't it? Why is it? Because the spinal cord is the connection to the brain. So if you disconnect from the brain, amen, the body no longer functions. What the devil wants to do is he wants to get people to disconnect. And he wants you to reconnect to something else. He wants to get you tied up in the things of this world so that you bear no fruit unto eternal life. He wants you to spend yourself needlessly on vanity and things that are passing away so that he can rob you of your inheritance in heaven. Do you see, when we start to bow down to other gods and put other things before God, we start to go to sleep. Why? Because we're disconnecting from the lifeline. It's like a severed spine. If you don't continue to connect to the head, amen, you're not going to have life. You're not going to be animated by the Spirit of the Lord. Instead, you'll be animated by your flesh. And the flesh produces no fruit. It's displeasing to the Lord. So he said, awake. In Ephesians 5:14, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Well, Paul told Timothy, Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift. Well, if God wants to, he'll do it. No, Timothy, I want you to stir up that gift that's within you. How many know you got to be deliberate about this thing? How many know the Christian life is not passivity? It's obedience to the voice of God and stepping out, amen, for God when he calls you to step out. And God will provide all that you have need of if you're willing to listen to him. He's not going to send you somewhere where he's not going to be. And sometimes he'll call you to go to some place that in your natural man it may be scary. I've been there, Scott. I've been in places where I'm like, man, you're not in Kansas anymore. But you find that God's grace is sufficient for you in that place, and God will sustain you, and you stay close to God. It's a good place to be. Because when you're leaning on God, the grace of God is rich in your life, amen? And people are going to see Jesus and less of you. How many know that we can't really help people? People need Jesus. Likewise, if we're disconnected spiritually, you know, we can't produce any life, any fruit. So we need the Holy Spirit to continually fill us. So our spiritual life is dependent on our connection to Christ. All of you know that scripture so well, Ephesians 5:18, that we are to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, it means to be continually filled. My responsibility is to stir up the gift of God within me, applying the bellows. How do I do that? Well, we're going to get into that a little bit further. I'm going to explain to you, if you didn't know already, how to stay alive, how to stay awake, amen, and how to bear fruit. Because I know, personally, I can do zero without Christ. And I don't want to do this thing without him, amen. Like Moses said, God, if you don't go before me, I don't want to go. If you're not in it, I'm not in it. But it's the Holy Spirit who will empower us to boldly proclaim the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, I sent this out yesterday, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Then he goes on to say, stay alert. There's a connection between prayer and staying alert. Being persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, and pray for me also. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, none of us have experienced the opposition Paul did, and he certainly knew that he needed God's grace to continue. Amen. So if you're born again today, if you are in Christ today, it's not a question of, do I have the gift of God? But rather, what am I doing with the gift of God? I'll say it again. It's not a question of, do I have the gift of God? If you're in Christ today, if you are born again, if Christ is in you, the question really is what am I doing with the gift of God? Guys, let me say this. Your family is important. My family is very important to me. I give my life for my family. But it's not all about me and my family. It's about the will of God. First, what God says first. God is my priority. His will is my priority. My family is important, but my family cannot take the place of God's will for me. And too often we have made idols even out of our families. Well, little Johnny has a cold. Pneumonia, do you suppose? Well, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Do you understand? And if we're looking for an excuse not to gather and not to be engaged in what God is doing, then we'll find it because the enemy will offer you excuses, won't he? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I made the right decision. Of course, I had to, but to be here today. Aren't you glad that you listened to the right voice this morning? I wonder how many of you heard another voice this morning saying, yeah, not today. Just stay home. Just sleep in. It's a beautiful day to sleep in. Or, hey, the mall has got a sale going on. Whatever it is. Oh, the Seahawks are playing. Oh, well, I'm not going to touch that idol. No, let's not go there. Whew. Oh, thou great pigskin God that flies through the air. Hey, I'm all for the Seahawks, man. I'm just not putting them before Jesus. Amen. But if you're in Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. But we're responsible to stir up the gift of God in us to maintain the flame. So here it is. You ready for this? Write it down on the tablets of your heart or on a piece of paper if you have to. Number one, how do I stir up the gift of God in me? The first one is by hearing and receiving, right? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Number two, prayer, thanksgiving, and praise. Prayer, giving of thanks to God, and praise. How many know that when you praise your favorite team, it's audible? You go, that was a... No, you say, all right, yeah, good, right? It's audible. Now listen. The natural man may say, well, I don't want to praise. I don't want to give thanks. What do you tell that man? Shut up. You're going to give God praise. You're going to give thanks to God. Amen? There's the battle right there. Well, I don't want to look foolish in front of people. Shut up. Like David said, I'm going to be even more undignified than this, right? As he danced before the Lord. You got to get over ourselves in order to be in a place where God can use us, because as long as we're full of us, come on somebody, you can't be full of Jesus and he can't help. So I got to say, you know what? I got to deny that part of me that doesn't want to do what God is saying to do so that I can get into agreement with what God says to do. And that means making an offering of sacrifice of praise to God at times when I may not even be feeling like it in my flesh. But I've discovered something, that I can praise my way out of depression. I can praise my way out of discouragement. And I can tell myself what to do. Like David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, I will, as an act of my will, bless the Lord. How many know you have the ability to do that? So you have to get into agreement, not how you feel, but get into agreement with what God says, and the good feelings will follow your faith. And all of a sudden you find yourself being happy in God. Yeah. So pray in the Spirit at all times. Third, staying active in the will of God. Serving according to the capacity that God has gifted you. All right? Stay busy for God. What is it God's called you to do? Well, you're called to be a light. You're called to be salt. You're called to be an example. Amen? To those around you. What is it that you have? God's given you something. He's put something in your hand that you can use. He's given you some ability, some gift. If you're a child of His, be active with that. Amen. Don't be an occasional Christian. Amen. God's looking for somebody that's going to partner with Him. Amen. And be His hands, His feet, His heart, His expression in this world. So we need to hear the word, meditate, think on, speak the word, pray, give thanks, give praise. Stay active. Stay alive. If you're awake, get up. Get involved. God, where can I serve? How can I help? How can I bless somebody else? We're good at blessing ourselves. How can I bless somebody else? By fellowshipping, number four, with other believers. You came here today. How many here received something already from the Lord? How many received some strength from the Lord, some encouragement from the Lord? Amen? Yeah. Why? Because God smiles upon what we're doing today. God smiles upon fellowship. His people come together in His name. Yeah. And each of us, if we have a psalm, we have a hymn, we have something, participate. Amen? And just be an example. I remember the devil used to mess with my head. He says, because I just want to lift my hands and shout and do all that good stuff, you know. But the other part of me was saying, but what will people think? What will people think if I do that? You know? And another thing I used to get, the devil would come along and say, oh, you're just doing that to be a show off. So, well, I don't want to be a show off. So I think I'll just shut down and sit down and clam up. And just, I don't know, look spiritual? Guys, listen. Not everybody's noisy like me. Not everybody's going to be as demonstrative as me. You may be a quiet, but sometimes the waters run deep even in quiet people. Amen? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying there's times in my life, I'm just going to tell you, that the enemy has me shut up. And the way to get out of that is to break out of it, is to shake my life like Samson, stir up that gift within me and say, you know what, I will not be silenced. Oh. See, everybody in society is coming out of the closet. Where's the Christian? He sits quiet at home. His only fear is Sunday. Church won't be too long. Well, Christians are so nervous anymore. Well, you can hear a pin drop on the church house floor. And if you get to cough and know the score, the usher brings a cough drop or shows you to the door. There must be something more we need to feel. Amen. When you are animated by the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit of God is moving in your heart, when the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will dance like David danced. I don't care. I'm not a dancer, but I don't care because I'm doing it under the Lord. Some of you knew I wasn't a dancer. Yeah, he ain't no dancer, no. But see, you got to get over yourself. Do yourself a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, do yourself a favor. Get over yourself. Now, don't get offended. Jesus told us to stay awake. In Mark 13, verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. That word watch means to stay alert, be awake. Because you can't be a light in this world if you're not lit. And so Paul gives us instructions, doesn't he? He says concerning the coming day of the Lord, he says, 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. So it's possible for a Christian to sleep. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say in verse 8? But let us who are of the day be sober. alert, awake, alert, not stoned, not drunk. And don't let your brain be turned to mush through the social media either. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, verse 10, that means in death, we should live together with Him, to be absent from the bodies, to be what? Present with the Lord. And again, in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, I want to remind you, Timothy, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. What? Stir up the gift of God that is within you. He said, by the laying of my hands. Amen. Now there's an impartation that can be transferred. Amen. By the laying on of the hands. But he's saying, you need to stir up that gift that's within you. If you're in Christ today, you have something to offer. Amen. There's no second class citizens in the kingdom. We're all children of God through faith in Jesus. Amen. And each one of us has been called with a holy calling, a high calling, to represent the Lord here in this world. And we can't do it unless we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because He will give us the enablement, the ability to do, amen, what He's called us to do. To be a bold witness for Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys, if we're intimidated by man, it means we need more power. Because the Holy Spirit will give you boldness. Hallelujah. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses, right? To me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So whenever we're facing opposition for our faith, we should cry out to God for greater boldness. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times in my Christian experience where I think I walked away with my tail between my legs because I was not prepared for something that I faced. How about you? How many know God wants us to study to show ourselves approved? Amen. Understand what the Word of God has to say. Amen. What is God saying? And He wants us to be filled with the power of His Holy Spirit, so we will have the boldness to not shrink back in the face of opposition, but to be able to stand, amen, and speak the truth in love to people, even when they're opposing you. Why? Because the love of God will so compel you. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you will love people more than your own life. You be willing, like Jesus said, to lay down your life for a brother. James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Our gift, guys, is freely given from the Lord, okay? But it is activated by faith. If you're just sitting around waiting for something to happen, there's some people that sit around for years and years and years. Well, one of these days, God's just going to speak to me and something's going to change or something's going to happen. Guess what? It's never going to happen with that attitude. Man, we got to get a faith like Peter. It said, you know, Jesus is out on the water. What are we doing here in the boat? I want to go where the life is. He's the life. In other words, God gives you the gift. But your responsibility to take it and apply it and trade with it, amen? Be faithful with what He's given you. You have to activate it by faith. It's amazing how many people have, at one time, including me, said, man, I can't really pray very well. I listen to Brother Joe pray, and he prays, man, so good, and Sister Sue prays so good. Is there any Sister Sue's here, by the way, today? No? Okay. So, we're not picking on Sister Sue today, but, you know, they preach so good, or they pray so good, or they serve so good, and they do this so good, you know. And a lot of times we're just comparing ourselves to somebody else. But if I discovered something, that, you know what? What you need to do is you need to say, you know what? God has told me to do something, and I feel limited by my own abilities to do what He's called me to do. So it's going to have to be by the grace of God that I do what He calls me to do. So I'm going to have to rely on the fact that God is faithful. And that as I step out and I activate the gift of God by doing something, that all of a sudden, that's the door is going to open up. Do you understand? You're not going to see a flow out of the Holy Spirit from within you until you start to open the gates and allow that river to flow out of you by lending yourself to the Spirit of God and start to speak what you believe God is speaking. Begin to practice this thing. Start practicing prayer. If you're afraid of praying publicly, step out of that boat and say, you know what? I'm going to trust God and I'm going to start praying publicly. And I have seen over and over again people who said, I can't pray. Today they pray wonderfully. Why? Because they started to practice. They started to apply. They started to activate the gift of God by praying, not only publicly, but they pray privately. Because when you pray privately, it prepares you for public ministry. See, some people want to just get right up into public ministry. God wants you to have a private ministry first with Him. You and Jesus, amen, spending time together. And you'll find that He's the one who will be the strength of your life. He will be your confidence. I can't do what I do in myself, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me the ability to do it. I probably would have been in the rubber room years ago if it wasn't for the grace of God. Some of you are thinking he still belongs in the rubber room, but no. By the grace of God, I am who I am today. But God is saying to His people, you have a gift. I want you to stir it up. I want you to activate it. I want you to start using it. It may be a little awkward at first. First time I prayed in the Holy Spirit, prayed in tongues. It's kind of like a little bit of a gibberish, maybe a little baby talk. And now it just flows out of me like rivers of living water. I can pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why? Because I activated that gift by simply stepping out. Okay. I discovered something when I started telling people when you pray, you can't pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to receive a prayer language. Come on up. We'll pray over you. Now, did you believe that God gave you what you asked for? Well, yes. Well, then you have it. Oh. Now start practicing it. Now start activating it by faith. Start speaking in tongues. All of a sudden, it's like it's not this, I'm tarrying for months at the altar waiting for this prayer language. God says, if you ask, you shall what? Receive. If you be an evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So if God wants to give you the Holy Spirit, what you need to do is believe by faith that what you ask for, according to the will of God, has already been given to you, and that gift is activated by a step of faith. I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to give God praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, we give you thanks because you are good and your love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Do you understand? You stir up the gift of God within you. Don't wait for that to happen. Take the bellows out, amen, and start applying it to that. Pray, get your ugly praise on. Start lifting your voice to God, amen. Jump into the deep end. Quit playing around sampling in the kiddie pool. Get into the deep end with God, and all of a sudden you're going to find it's no longer a struggle, but now it's just the wind of God is breathing in my life, and I'm just moving in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And I'm not trying to make anything happen. It's just going to happen because I'm in harmony with God. And wherever I am, He's with me. I'm going to finish with this. James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? What does that mean? There was an activation of his faith. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Oh, yeah. We can't say we believe and not have evidence of that faith. I'm not talking about making something up. I'm talking about being in communion with God till His heart is in you, His desires are in you. I pray this way, Lord, make your will my desire. as you promised in your word to work in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. If we will draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Amen. If we will give thanks and give praise to God, hallelujah, be in fellowship, be people of prayer, amen, then what will happen is that gift within us, amen, will become brighter, it'll become clearer. You'll understand this is who I am in Christ. This is what I've been called to do. See, a lot of people are just waiting for somebody else to tell them what God is saying. And the reason why often the Lord is silent is because he wants you to seek him. And he wants you to hear from him. Amen. And after a while, it's okay if you're a baby Christian going around and have everybody lay hands on you. Right? Going from one thing to the next. Just give me some impartation. Give me some impartation. And all of a sudden, it seems like that thing's drying up now. God's saying, I want you to learn how to come to the fountain yourself. Come to me. Quit relying upon man. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then you'll be in position to help somebody else who's coming up in the ranks. Hallelujah. Amen. There comes a time, as we said, you got to remove the bottle. You got to get into some solid food. You got to start walking by faith. And you're going to activate that faith because it's time to rekindle the flame. It's time to stir up the gift of God within us and to light up the night for Jesus. That's what Elijah, amen, had passed on to Elisha. He says, if you're with me when I go away, amen, then you'll receive the double portion. He stayed very close to Elijah until that day came, amen, and the mantle fell. Hallelujah. And Elisha picked it up. And what did he say? Well, that's a beautiful looking mantle. I think I'll just put it in my closet with the rest of my clothes. He said, no. He picked it up and he struck the water. And what did he say? Where's the God of Elijah? He activated that faith. And the miracles began from that point on. Twice the amount of miracles, right? As Elijah. Why? Because he was activating his faith. It was more than just saying, what's a pretty mantle? He's saying, I'm going to utilize it. God gave me this gift. Amen. Not just for me to look pretty or me to look spiritual. But he gives me this gift so that I can be a blessing to others. And there's a song that we sing every time on Thursdays. We have a little get together over at the Shelton Rehab on Thursdays. And we finish with this song. It's called Make Me a Blessing. I want to share this with you. If you've never heard this song before, it goes back a few years. Some of you know it. It's called Make Me a Blessing. It says, out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. The next verse says, give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. As the Lord has so loved us and given himself for us, so we also should love the brethren, amen, and give ourselves for one another. It's not all about what I can get. It's what I can give. How can I be a blessing in this world? God, you've done so much for me, so much that is undeserved, and yet you gave to prove your love for me. And I just thank you, Lord, for saving me out, pulling me out of this darkness, God, and bringing me into your marvelous light. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you are willing to lay down your life for your sheep. Jesus, you said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. And you said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your indescribable gift. And thank you, God, for the fellowship of believers, or my family, my brothers and sisters today, God, that we can be here and we can be together. We can be in harmony. We can be in peace, Lord. Thank you, God. I pray that every wall will come down that will be perfectly knit together in the bond of peace by the Spirit of the Lord, Father. God, I pray that, Lord, we will live again, that we'll rise again, that we'll wake out of slumber, that we'll cast off the grave clothes, put on the armor of light, be filled with the power of the Lord, and step out and activate the gift of God for you, God, that we may bear fruit unto eternal life. For God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, Almighty God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, we know that you are with us. You're coming for a bride. You're coming for a prepared people. Jesus said in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go again, when I will what? I will come again to receive you. Hallelujah. The Lord is saying, guys, I've gone away. I've gone away to prepare a place for you. And at the appointed time of the Father, I shall return. I shall return for my church, my bride, my prepared one, and I will receive you unto myself.